I ask you this every year, but how busy are things a couple days before the draft?
You know, it's been busy. I think not quite as, you know, I think in years past it's been really, Brad with the wheeling and dealing and everything that's going on with it. I mean, Brad's making calls and we're doing it, but for some reason it just seems a little quieter this year. You know, not that it's not going to heat up, and maybe it heats up in 10 minutes, but, you know, for the most part, Brad's just, he's working the phones, but it's nothing real concrete coming from him, and just, you know, a lot of people just kicking tires, you know, but not where you're like years past with Dougie and, you know, making the for Dougie and then trading Dougie. Yeah. Like, there was definitely a lot of stuff going on, so now it's more, people are saying, what are you looking to do and stuff like that. So it's a little bit, little low-key for usually what we're used to with Brad being at the helm.
So when those deals get made, like, what's the anatomy of a draft day trade? Like, whether when you traded for Dougie or when you traded away Dougie, like, look, there's been a lot of big-time deals made at the draft. How do they come about? How much work goes into it this week?
You know, it's pretty, it starts way before this, but it starts coming together. I mean, Brad was, you know, when we got Dougie, he was on the plane flying back from the awards, and it really kind of started then. And literally, it would be all day, and you feel like 3 o'clock in the morning, you go to bed, and at 5:30, there'd be a ding, like, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And it kept going and going and going. And then all of a sudden, you know, going to the draft that day in Miami, we knew we were going to trade for Dougie, but it was pretty intense for about 3 or 4 days, and there was a lot of conversations, because you know when you put your first pick in play, you get a lot of people calling.
Yeah,
you know, so that's the one thing that we've given up a lot of picks. We've got some great players back, but you'd like to make picks also. I mean, our scouts do a heck of a job in there. They've been working hard. I mean, not to have a pick in the first 3 rounds last year, that's tough. I mean, because you do put that time in, but you know, when you get good players and your team has the success we had in the regular season, you know, that's what it's about. Now it's to get us over the next hump, which is in the playoffs.
So for you, when you come to a draft, are you like, is the main thing about making your team better in the immediacy, or is your main priority in your job about the guys you're going to be drafting and the future of the club?
I mean, a little bit of both. Like, you know, you're looking at the guys that are there, you know, right now it's at 26. Do they make us better? Can we make a trade? Is there a trade out there? You know, what, there's so many options going on, but like I said, right now it's not quiet, but it's definitely not as busy as in years past. So, you know, I think we're always trying to make the team better. I mean, we feel like, hey, we've put a good team together in the regular season and they had success, and now, you know, what is it going to take us to move forward and have more success in the playoffs?
What could be available at 26 if that's where your group ends up picking?
You know, we probably spent, this is probably the longest we spent on a pick. You know, usually we kind of, if you're in the top 15, I'll admit the guys are great. Probably first 18, 19 guys always seem like we have those guys. They're just in a different order. Everyone's right. Got them differently. But, you know, once you get around 15, you know, this year, it could go anywhere. So, I mean, we really are kind of locking down and spend about three, four more hours. I mean, you're doing it all year, but to really grind out, usually it's an hour on who you think you're going to pick, because you kind of got it done. Yeah, this year was about 3 hours. So
really?
it's a grind, and maybe, you know, which guy fits best with the team, what we're trying to do, you know, do we take it the best player? I mean, we're going through a lot of scenarios, and, you know, to kind of rank the guys where we have them, wasn't easy. It wasn't as easy because guys, you like certain things. What the ceiling is on this guy? Is he going to be able to get maybe to a top 6 forward? Do we take him, or does this guy have a chance to be a top pairing defenseman, or, you know, top 4, or is he just a third pairing guy? But do we just, is he going to be a solid third pairing guy, kill penalties, be the, you know, you go down through all these options with all types of players, and then, you got to come up with what you think is going to be the best for us moving forward. And that's, that's what's fun about this job, you know, and you don't know, you could be sitting there and you're like, whoa, we really like this guy. He's sliding. What? You know, you get a little nervous when a guy like that slides because you're thinking, does someone know something we don't? But, I mean, we do our backgrounds. We've met all the kids. The individual scout in that area usually talks to him. And then we meet him at the combine, and you're trying to gather as much information as possible. So, you know, we've done all that. And now we got to go in there, and we'll see kind of where at 26, you just never know who's gonna fall, or, you know, even if it goes the way we think we're gonna get a solid player there.
Is it as simple as when you're up at 26, whether guys fall or don't fall, is it the top player on your list regardless that you'd pick at 26, or what else comes into the equation?
You know, I mean, I think there's always. Usually it. You know, honestly, since I've been here, it's been. Who's the best player at that point at the list? That's what we've taken in the first round. In later rounds, it might be like, hey, we took four forwards. We have an opportunity to take a defenseman we really like and another forward we really like. Maybe we should take the defenseman. Like, you know, that's a little bit later. But for the most part, I bet you the first three rounds, we've stayed pretty tight to the list. You know, and even Johnny's year, we kind of had Johnny set aside on the when Todd thought we could get Johnny, and then we got him on the fourth round. We said, we better do it now, yeah. You know. So that was kind of the philosophy there. So it's always changing, but for the most part, to start the draft, we stick pretty tight to the list. I mean, that's why we're grinding away in there to make sure the list is in order and that we don't have someone say, well, I like this guy better. Well, no, it's too late. You know, we've got, if you have something to say, say it right now.
So how, that's all assuming you pick at 26, how much do you anticipate your first pick specifically being in play this weekend?
You know, I mean, I think Brad's got a history when he probably walks out, when he gets a call and he walks out of the meetings, I think everyone's like, all the scouts look around, but, you know, and that's one thing. The scouts always said, if you can make our team better, then that's what we want to do. You know, that's what we're trying to draft the best player, but if there's a player that, you know, it's going to take a first round pick for to make the team better, then, you know, everybody's on board with it. So, you know, Brad's looking at all options. He's a wheeler dealer, especially at this time of the year, and seems like some big trades always happen and picks have been in play. But, you know, also knowing that, you know, we've talked about, hey, we need to make some picks too. We need to restock the cupboards and move forward. So unless something was to kind of wow you, I assume we're going to make the first pick.
Would it be safe to say if you were to move that, you'd probably want to be in a move down situation where you might get a pick in the second round if you're going to move that first round?
Well, you'd love to try to see if you could, you know, do something like that to get another pick, to get in the second round. You know, not to have a second round pick for a while too is tough. And, you know, that's the one thing I think if as it heats up, we'll get a feel like where everybody's pulse is. Could we even move up? It seems like that would be hard for us because, you know, talking to teams right now, everybody's excited. They have their picks and they kind of want to stand pat. But, you know, we've moved ours. We said, hey, we've moved first in 2 seconds, and we've done that a few times. So now we're just saying someone could get up there and offer us something, you know, that we say, well, that we really got to look at that and make a decision, you know. And that's why, you know, Brad make sure he knows he has a pulse on every team, and he's talked to every team and he's made his calls, and now you know, you just hope they call you back if they are going to do something, just so we're not out of it. Maybe we can sweeten it or not, but at least be in the conversation.
Are there big names available right now? Are there big fish out there?
Not that I've heard of. I mean, I think, you know, I think a lot of that, especially here, it's pretty tight-lipped. I mean, I think the GMs do a great job. I mean, they're good to the players. I mean, really, it's about as much as the media and everybody loves to hear those big names out there or whatever. Like, if you start talking about those in deals, I think those you want to keep very private. Yeah. And because if they don't work out, then you don't really want your top guys thinking, geez, they don't really like me that much. I mean, I know when I was on my side, I hear my name a lot being traded here and there, and it's like, what? Do they not like me? I remember Craig Button, actually, I just got to Calgary, and my name was, the next year was back in the, about being traded, so you're like, and he came to me in Philly and said, hey, we're all these rumors, we're not trading you, and it did put my mind at ease. I mean, that was the trade deadline, so it's a little bit different, but, you know, so I think the GMs try to do their best job at keeping things private, and so if you're not talking with us, then I don't really know if there's any big fish out there.
Final thought, just I guess a thought on Mark Giordano winning the Norris on Wednesday night. That had to, I know you guys were busy doing your draft stuff, but how big a moment was that for this management group?
Well, we sat in the suite right till we had a dinner, actually, team dinner last night, but we sat in the suite. I'm like, really? Can they not put this one up a little quicker? So it was pretty special. Like, we all thought he was going to win it. I mean, we thought it was a no-brainer and it was a lock, but I thought Jerome was going to win the Hart that one year, and he didn't. I was shocked. So, you know, I do think with Mark winning, going back, I said, I was telling a story earlier when he was down. I got back on the trade. I went over to Dion's house. He was living in the basement. I'm like, oh, you keep Mark locked in the dungeon down here. And we were joking around. But to kind of see him go from there, having to go to Russia, all the things he's been through, not drafted, the work ethic he's had, just such a good person, you know, to have him actually win it and to be the first one of the Calgary Flames ever. With all the great Flames defensemen that there has been, like I saw Al MacInnis last night after we finished dinner, and I'm thinking, that's amazing. Gio's the only one that win it in Calgary. So well-deserved, excited for him. Seemed like him and his family had a great time. It's we the Norris. That was a classic. That was well thought out. They did a good job. They had fun with it. And, you know, like he said, he always tells me he's got 4 or 5 years, good years left. So, you know, he told the world that last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.